from three places in God's Word. Looking first to Genesis chapter 2, right at the beginning of the Bible, then at Exodus 20, and then at Hebrews 3. Genesis 2, the first three verses. This follows, of course, the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And following that, we read these words, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And then turning over to Exodus chapter 20, that's on page 61 of the Pew Bibles, and reading verses 8 through 11, which is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And we read here, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And then turning back over to Hebrews, and starting at verse 7 of chapter 3 and reading through verse 13 of chapter 4. And that's on page 1002 of the Pew Bibles. Hebrews 3, beginning with verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, And those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And may God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning, and let us ask for that blessing. O Lord our God, we come before your throne now asking that your Spirit would open your word to our hearts, that we would understand it properly and put it into practice as we understand by your Spirit what you desire for us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the items and things that has come up as we are considering potential candidates to be our next pastor is the question of, what does keeping the Sabbath mean? What is involved in that? What should we do and what shouldn't we do on this day? And so I thought it would be appropriate to look into that, since I'm interested and have read the responses of the candidates, and they're different. And so there are differences of opinion within the church about this topic, and I thought it would be appropriate for us as we think about potential candidates what the Scripture has to teach us regarding the Sabbath. And we'll have an opportunity, by the way, in the Sunday school hour to discuss this. So there will be an adult class today. As we look at that fourth commandment, it begins, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And we've repeated these words time and time again all through the years, many times. What does it tell us and what does it call us to do? What impact does this command have on your life and on my life? Today we'll see that the Sabbath is a real blessing from God to us as we look at what God calls us to do on this special day every week. First of all, what is the Sabbath? And I've preached on this several times, and I think I preached somewhat recently. But I think it's good to review this and to remember what is involved. The word Sabbath speaks of a time of rest, a break, a change from normal circumstances in life, a turning away from what is your normal everyday activity. In Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, "By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And it's important to note that this happened before the fall into sin. And so it's not that that sin had made things so difficult for God that he was exhausted after the 7 days. Think about it. Here's the Almighty God, all-powerful God, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. He's not resting on the Sabbath day because he's exhausted or because he's frustrated with the sin in the world and it's dragging him down and he's got to take a break from it all. No. This is part of his week of creation, an ordinance that he established then. In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God sanctified that day. God made that holy. God set it apart. The idea of sanctifying, making holy, involves setting apart that day. It's different from the other 6 days, which for God had involved his work of creation. And so we see God setting a pattern for us, 6 days of labor, followed by a day of rest from our labors. And this time of rest gives us an opportunity to be refreshed and to meditate on all that God has done. And think about it as you go back into Genesis. Think about what God was doing on that seventh day. He didn't just lay down and sleep for 24 hours. You know, we sing in the Psalms, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. So he definitely didn't do that on that seventh day. But God took that day to reflect on all that he had done, on the creation that he had made, that it was all very good. And it was a time for God to rejoice over what he had created. And what a great thing that was. The day of rest then was an active day. It was actively involved with rejoicing as he saw what he had done. The Sabbath rest was a sign between God and his people. And we see, if we turn over to Exodus chapter 31, that this is a very important and significant sign. And we read these words in verses 12 through 17 of Exodus 31. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" And so we see here in verse 13 that God declared his people to be holy, to be set apart, sanctified, different from the rest. He declared his day to be holy, set apart, sanctified from the other days of the week. God's people were to declare that they belonged to him by carefully keeping the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. It was not to be the same as the other days. And it was to demonstrate through this to Israel and the peoples of the nations around them that they were God's holy, set apart, sanctified people. The penalties for not keeping the Sabbath holy were very severe in Old Testament Israel. And of course, we see in that old covenant, the people were called to absolute obedience. And when they failed, the penalties were severe. And the ultimate penalty, of course, was death. Failing to keep the Sabbath was a denial of God as their Lord and as the one who provides for his people in such a way that they can rest one day out of each 7 day week. The severe penalties given for breaking God's law were a witness to the world that God is the Holy One who has all authority in heaven and earth. He has the authority to require us to set apart one day each week. And we don't have the right to decide we won't follow his commands. It's only because of his grace in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of death for the sins of his people that we are delivered from that penalty. And we need to remember that all the time, each and every day as we go about our lives. Now, the Sabbath also reminds us of redemption as well as creation. And if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Ten Commandments are given again, we read here in verse 15, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And so the Sabbath was to be a reminder to Israel of God's delivering them from their slavery to Egypt, from that yoke of slavery, and giving them rest from that yoke of slavery. So they were no longer slaves, they were free. And God blessed them with that freedom. In a much greater way, the Sabbath serves as a reminder to you and to me of God's delivering us from our slavery to sin and giving us the blessing of eternal rest through Christ. And so, as we set apart this day, it should be a reminder to us that God has blessed us with deliverance from our sin. And God has blessed all who trust in him with the blessing of eternal life, the eternal rest with him. Now, because Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, the church now celebrates the Sabbath rest on the first day each week, which the world calls Sunday and which we refer to as the Lord's Day. And it's interesting to note, and these little things come even at age 70 now, as I'm going through, that Jesus rested on the Sabbath after his crucifixion. He was crucified on Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath when he was in the grave. His body was in the grave. And he rested that Sabbath day. And then he rose again in victory over sin and death that following day on the Sunday, the Lord's Day. And that's why we celebrate this on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. Jesus, you can imagine that Jesus, of course, his body was in the grave, but his soul was not there. And he was looking down on his work. Just as God looked down on his work of creation, Jesus was looking down on his work of redemption, and it was finished, and it was all very good as he rested on that Sabbath day. What a blessing. Just as God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, so too he delivers us from slavery to sin through the finished work of Christ. And so the rest we enjoy each Lord's Day is a foretaste then of the complete eternal rest awaiting everyone who truly trusts in Christ as Savior and Lord. And we read about that in Hebrews chapter 4 and the call there to faith. And you notice it's through faith that you come. And the ones that did not come because of their unbelief and their lack of faith. What a blessing to have that faith and know that that rest awaits us. And it's even more glorious than we can imagine. And you can read in Revelation, the end of Revelation, the great blessings that await us as we go to be with the Lord. So how should we use the Lord's Day? And I think I've used these things before a long time ago, but I think It's helpful to think of this commandment in a personal way. And so I think we're called, as we look at this, to examine ourselves, our own circumstances, which are different for each of us, and examine how we should observe this day. And so we're called to remember to set apart the Lord's day, to rest from your labors and worship the Lord. And I'd like to just paraphrase a few things. Those like me until last Friday when I retired, who work in financial services, maybe that commandment could be given like this, to paraphrase it. Remember to set apart the Lord's day from all the other days of the week. 6 days you shall stare at your computer screens, reconcile bank statements, track investments, move money around, pay bills, write reports, etc. But the Lord's day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not stare at your computer screens, reconcile bank statements, track investments, move money around, pay bills, write reports, etc. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart from all the other days of the week, so you may rest from your labor and focus your thoughts on him. Follow his example as you reflect on his blessing, your diligent work in the past week, and look forward to continuing that work in the new week that has begun. These things aren't always easy to do. And I'll give you one more example. And this one was really hard for me when I was a young person. And that's for students. Remember to set apart the Lord's day from all the other days of the week. 6 days you shall study for classes, do homework, write papers, and do research for reports, etc. But the Lord's day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not study for classes, do homework, write papers, and do research for reports, etc. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart from all the other days of the week, so you may rest from your labor and focus your thoughts on him. Follow his example as you reflect on his blessing, your diligent work in your studies in this past week, and look forward to continuing that work in the new week that has begun. And I have to say, I really struggled with that as a college student until I went to live with the pastor in Phoenix, where I was attending Arizona State University, and they had a strict understanding of keeping the Sabbath, and I was not permitted to study on the Lord's Day. And I learned to prioritize my time and organize my life, and I did it. And it was amazing, and it was a blessing. And I looked forward to that Sabbath rest every week, but it was hard. It was very hard to get to the point where that happened. But I encourage our students to think about that. Set apart a day that you may worship and that you may focus on the Lord and not on all those things you're studying. And you can think of examples for teachers, even for homemakers. Think about that. Homemakers, remember to set apart the Lord's day from all the other days of the week. 6 days you shall wash clothes, vacuum rugs, scrub floors and windows, sort and organize your family's possessions, purchase groceries and other necessary items, and for some, work outside the home to provide for your family, etc. And there's a lot more etc. is there. But the Lord's day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not wash clothes, vacuum rugs, scrub floors and windows, sort and organize your family's possessions, purchase groceries and other necessary items, and for some work outside the home to provide for your family and those many other etc. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart from all the other days of the week, so you may rest from your labor and focus your thoughts on him. Follow his example as you reflect on his blessing, your diligent work in the past week, and look forward to continuing that work in the new week that has begun. That also is a tough one, a very tough one. And children, here's an opportunity for you to help mom to have a Sabbath rest. Can you do that? There are things that you can do to help your mom have a Sabbath rest. And she deserves it. She really does. Remember that. Now, some people must work on the Lord's Day. Think of doctors and nurses and firefighters, police, military personnel. There are certain occupations that it's just necessary to have people working on the Lord's Day. But if you're one of them, and we have some here, you still are to have a Sabbath each week, so you may rest from your labor and focus your thoughts on the Lord. And so you need to follow his example on your day of rest, whichever one it may be, as you reflect on his blessing, your diligent work in the past week, and look forward to continuing that work in the new week that has begun. Note also that the fourth commandment requires you to not do any unnecessary work on the Sabbath, and also to not put others in a position where they have to do unnecessary work on the Lord's Day. And we see in our example some things that we do as we turn away from our labors, just as the Lord turned away from his work of creation and rested. We turn away from our work as accountants or teachers or students or engineers or whatever you may be. But also we need to watch that we're not doing other things that we really could do in those other 6 days. The Lord's Day isn't the day to work yourself to a frazzle doing all the things that you should have done the rest of the week around the house and so on. Sometimes you have to do things like that. And Jesus taught us, and it's important to understand what Jesus taught us in as he dealt with people on the Lord's Day, because there were things that the Pharisees and the scribes wouldn't allow, like pulling your animal out of the ditch or something. Obviously, there are things that need to be done on the Lord's Day, but there are a lot of things that don't have to be, that could be done on other days. There are some works of necessity and mercy, then, that must be done on the Lord's Day. Healing the sick, preparing food, things like that. Sure, we need to do that. And Jesus teaches us that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that is not sin to do those things. We're called to gather with God's people to worship him and be refreshed by him. And that's part of how we focus our thoughts on him. We come right here to worship him and to remember who has blessed us and who is giving us that eternal blessing that we look forward to. And if you've set apart the Lord's Day from the rest of the week, all the stress and worries of daily life are set aside, and you have no other obligations to meet on this day. You're already experiencing then the blessings of the Sabbath when you awake with no obligations except to join with the rest of the body of Christ to worship the Lord. You're experiencing a glimpse today of what your eternal life with Christ will be like. And it should be with great anticipation that you look forward to this special day each week. Our worship focuses our thoughts on God. We acknowledge him as our sovereign Lord. And our worship is structured to focus our thoughts, each part of it, so that we remember those things. Now, the remainder of the Lord's Day is a time for you to enjoy, focusing your thoughts and activities on the Lord as you enjoy his creation and the blessing of having a day set apart from the rest of the week, when you can do that. Resting from your labors, having times of fellowship with family and friends, doing things that you enjoy, and then returning. I really look forward to returning in the evening for a less formal time when we worship by praising and prayer. Now some, including the Westminster Assembly, in our Confession of Faith and Catechisms, have a pretty strict view of the Sabbath. And there's a controversy in the church about how strict that should be. And we want to be very careful to observe the Sabbath, but not to become like the Pharisees and the scribes, who had their lists, and you could walk only so many steps, and you could only eat the egg of a chicken that was due to be eaten and laid an egg, rather than the egg of the chicken that was there for laying, because the chicken that was to lay the eggs was working, and you couldn't participate in that work. We don't want to be doing that. Jesus condemned that kind of attitude, and we need to be very careful how we understand the Lord's Day. We need to not fall into that trap of making lists and then condemning those who don't follow our list. Remember that Jesus fulfilled the law for his people, and he paid the penalty for our breaking that law. But he didn't abolish the law. And so we don't observe the 9 commandments now. There's 10. And we continue to observe those commandments. But we do it out of rejoicing in the blessing and the mercy of Christ in delivering us from our sin. We do it in response to his grace in delivering us from our sin. We don't do it because we think in our hearts, as long as I keep this list, I'll be okay with God. No, you won't, because you'll fail one way or another. But God, in his mercy, has sent Jesus, and Jesus paid the penalty for your failing to keep his commandments, including number 4. But that doesn't mean we skip number 4 or any of the others. Rather, we obey out of love for him who loved us enough to give his life for us. And so let us commit ourselves to faithfully observing the pattern that God sent for us when he completed his work of creation. Is your Sabbath a day set aside from the routines of the work week in which you can rest from your labors, be refreshed, and devote yourself to meditating on the goodness of God as you worship him and relate to others? I trust that it is, and I urge you to make sure that it is. And may we be blessed by our Sabbath. Let's pray. O Lord, we do give you thanks today for your grace and your mercy. And we give you thanks for the commands that you've given us that teach us about you and about what you desire of us, and lead us to be more and more like Christ, who faithfully kept all of your commands. And we thank you, Lord, that because we've failed, we couldn't come into your presence, but he came and paid the penalty for our sin, that we would be delivered from it. And we pray that you would be merciful to us and be gracious to us and lead us by your Spirit to desire more and more to be like Christ and to do his will. Help us, Lord, not to look upon the Sabbath as a day of drudgery, as a dreary day, as a as a burden, as it was in the times of the Pharisees and is in some parts of the church even today. But Lord, help us to rejoice in your mercy and to rejoice in setting apart that day each week to worship you and to fellowship with your people and to meditate on your goodness and your grace in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.